assigned psalm for this morning, Psalm 65, which you'll find in Lutheran worship on page 331, is a psalm of praise and thanksgiving to God for all that he has given us. In this beautiful psalm, David praises the God who controls every aspect of creation and human history. This God who has the power to create and destroy is the one who has chosen for himself a people whom he is eager to save. The psalm can be divided up into three stanzas, verses 1 through 4, verses 5 through 8, and then verses 9 through 14. And it is through this structure that I invite you to meditate on it and praise God through it today. This kind of praise is rare in our world, Luther remarks about this psalm, where people abuse the word of peace and in prosperous times live a totally destructive life as Sodom and Gomorrah did. And so it is good for us, the Lord's baptized people, to praise him with this psalm and thereby to remember all the blessings that he has given to us. In the first stanza, David begins at a crucial place. As one author puts it, the psalmist begins at the spiritual center of the poetic geography, Mount Zion and the temple. Here, people overcome with sin enter into the presence of Yahweh and receive forgiveness. Here they find a God who listens to them, who hears their prayer. David is well aware that he does not deserve such grace. God has chosen him and brought him near, when otherwise he would be far off. To dwell in the courts of Yahweh is life itself. It is hope to the overwhelmed sinner. David knows that if Yahweh is for him, who can be against him? So it is with us who, overwhelmed with sin, come to our tabernacle, the great high priest and Lamb of God, and hear the news that he has atoned for our transgressions. In baptism, he has chosen us and brought us near to live with him. And we know that he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Please join me as we speak together Psalm 65, just verses 1 through 4. This will be followed by a brief silence for private meditation on the words, and then we will follow by singing hymn 893, verses 1 and 2. We say together Psalm 65, verses 1 through 4. In this next stanza, verses 5 through 8, David moves from the center of all things, Mount Zion, out to the whole world ruled and governed by the Creator. The middle of the stanza, verses 6 and 7, praises his power. If the sea is symbolic of opposition to God, David proclaims Yahweh's domination over every enemy. Like Psalm 46 says, nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. In the first verse of this stanza, verse 5, David proclaims, you answer us with awesome deeds of righteousness. That line is better translated, through awesome deeds you answer us with salvation. David is referring to the mighty acts that God performed to deliver his people from their enemies, the Exodus and the conquest of Canaan, acts which made Israel's enemies shake with terror. In these last days, of course, we know that God has answered us in the person of his Son. All of God's awesome deeds on behalf of Israel, to which David refers in this psalm, culminate in this one mighty act by which he saves all of his elect. He is the word that has broken the backs of our enemies, and through him we are counted as righteous in his sight. Even death itself cannot have its way with us anymore. And so it is in this Savior that all of us have hope. In the last verse of this stanza, verse 8, the word translated here as wonders is better translated as signs. God's mighty acts on behalf of Israel, including the sending of his Son, are signs that point to the work of God and the ultimate salvation of his people. Here David seems to anticipate God's appearance at the end of time. When he comes again, all people will recognize the signs for what they are. While some tremble, others will sing songs of joy. It is as Paul says, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Please join me as we speak together verses 5 through 8. In the third stanza, David appears to return to more mundane matters, crops and rain and harvest time, the stuff of everyday life. At least they are mundane to us, who so easily take these things for granted. But these matters are hardly mundane to David. David is aware that behind all the laws and forces of nature is his God, who cares for the land and provides food for his people. He thanks God because he realizes that the simple rain and the crops it produces are great blessings from him. And that's why David's language in this stanza is anything but mundane. It is a stanza as fresh and irrepressible as the fertility it describes, one commentary observes. Here we almost feel the splash of showers and sense the springing growth around us. In verse 9, the Hebrew text translated as "you care for the land" should actually say "you visited the land." The word is the same one used by the prophets in their proclamation that Yahweh, their God, who is always present and active, would one day come and visit his people with judgment and salvation. On that day, as Isaiah says, the desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. Here David's imagery is so rich in its description of the blessings of the rain that one wonders if David is making a connection between these two visitations, the rain from God and the life it gives to the land. In the final day of God's visitation, when God will give life to his people and there will be a new heaven and earth. Here in the psalm, creation can hardly contain itself, so joyous is it that God has visited. The grasslands of the desert overflow. The hills are clothed with gladness. The meadows are covered with flocks, and the valleys are mantled with grain. They shout for joy and sing. David, perhaps, wants us to call to mind that day that awaits us all. That day when creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. On that day, with all creation, we will welcome him with shouts and joy and singing. Let us read together verses 9 through 13 and meditate on these words.